I'm David Heath, and I would like to welcome you to Reentry Prison and Jail Ministries Discipleship Course. This is a series of lessons that are best applied by listening to them in sequence. If you have not heard the previous lessons, please do so before continuing with this series. I've given God my addiction. Here is Pastor Art Lyons with Class 4 of Our Lives in Christ in Recovery.
This is, of course, another really important theme or issue that the Lord deals with us as soon as we become Christians. And that is finding the family of God that He's calling us to be with so that we can begin to grow in Christ. And here it says in the first paragraph, we need to commit ourselves to the body of Christ in a local expression. We need to make ourselves accountable to elders and youngers. We need to be submitted and committed to one another. Give your heart, body, soul, and spirit to this ministry / church. If you can't learn to do this now, you'll never be able to do it later. In the context of coming out of prison or jail or being in a recovery home, or even if you're not coming out of a situation like that, but you just accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you need to find a church family to be with, and you need to start doing it right away. And if you don't start now, you're never going to start. A lot of things in Christianity, we say, well, I'll do that tomorrow, or I'll do that next week. But if that's our mental attitude towards something, we may never really start. We never may get going. And so we need to start doing whatever it is we need to do today. And even Jesus said, or Paul said, today is the day of salvation. Now, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you got to do it today. And we're not guaranteed, of course, of anything that's going to happen 1 second from now. So we need to start and begin today. And as we begin to put one foot in front of the other, God begins to lead us accordingly. So, if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, God wants you to find a church family to be a part of. So the focus of this study is to talk about the support system that God has set up to bring us into maturity, and specifically Christian maturity. We're not to look at any man except Jesus Christ to be the ultimate authority in our lives. Okay, so as we go through this study, we're going to see how the Scriptures encourage us to be a part of a family, but yet our authority, our supreme authority, has to be God and never another man. But we're going to see in the Scriptures here that what God had intended in that balance. In 1 John, it must be, 2:18 and 28. And it says here, these things I've written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Little children, it is the last time, and as you've heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that this is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, and that they were not all of us. But ye have heard an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not yet the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all, of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So John writes that concerning us, that we have an unction from the Holy Spirit, and that we have an anointing that God has put in each and every one of his children. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. It says that we don't need any man to teach us. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit can teach us all things. I'm thinking of some friends. I don't know if I want to go into the story of a couple of friends that we have that actually received Jesus Christ, the real Jesus Christ, in a cult meeting. They were looking for salvation, and they went to this meeting that they were invited to that was of a particular cult. And the guy who was leading the meeting there actually led them in a prayer, which they were looking to receive Christ. Someone had been ministering to them from a good church, but they had not yet received Christ yet. The seeds were being planted. And as they were waiting for the bus one day, a particular couple cult members came up to them of this organization and invited them to this banquet. And they went to the banquet because the guy said they were Christians and they were really seeking God. So they went, and they went to the banquet, and then the guy gave a message, and he led the people that were there to receive Christ in their hearts, and they prayed to receive Jesus Christ in their hearts, and they were saved. And almost immediately, as soon as they received Christ, they felt, this is not a godly place. It was really strange, and they both had the same testimony in their hearts and their minds. And they just knew something that the Holy Spirit was telling them. Okay, you got to get out of here now. And so they did. They left and they went out and sought out the people who had originally had shared the Lord with them and began going to that church. So the Holy Spirit can teach us all things. But God does want us to align ourselves and find spiritual mentors in our lives to help us in our walk. The next verse is, yet God uses godly men and women to teach and instruct other men and women. So even though the anointing of the Holy Spirit is in us, God will use other men and women to teach us and to instruct us. One illustration that Pastor Dave Chamberlain gave a long time ago, and I really liked it, and that was an illustration of a cross. And he said, our life should be sort of like a cross, that as we should have somebody over us, a spiritual mentor, a spiritual authority over us. We should have somebody on each side of us, kind of our peer group, someone that we're growing in maybe the same level with spiritually. And then we need to have somebody below us, in the sense, somebody that we're discipling and we're mentoring and we're bringing them up. And so that picture of the cross was given to him to share that, and I kind of like that. And so we need to have all those types of people in our lives. Somebody over us, spiritual mentor, people beside us, and someone that we're training up. God has set in place those who are called to the offices of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And in Ephesians 4:11 through 16, we read, it says, he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that henceforth we would be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So God has given to the church, given to us, pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, people who are called to be examples and to teach and train and to be leaders and to teach us how to grow in Christ. And it's our responsibility to find these godly men and women to be associated with. the responsibility is on us. We're only going to be as holy as the environment that we place ourselves in. You know, we are not going to exceed the righteousness or the holiness of the environment that we're in. John Maxwell, teacher now, leadership type teacher, you know, he has in his book in the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, he has one of his laws are called the Law of the Lid. And basically he's saying if your leader or your boss or whoever is 8, you know, on a scale of 10, he's only going to be able to take you to about 7, okay? We want to find the leadership that is 10 on a scale of 10 so that they can take us as high as we can possibly go. But we'll only really grow as, you know, a little bit below with the leadership that we have. If we don't have good leadership around us, if we don't have good teachers, what will happen is that we will grow to a certain place. We won't be able to get anything more out of that leadership, or whether that be in a job or in a church or whatever, and we'll end up going somewhere else. So we have a responsibility. If we want to continue to grow, we need to continue to place ourselves in environments where we have strong leadership that's growing as even more than we're growing. And God expects us to find those godly men and women and associate ourselves with them. And if we don't do that, then you know, we are going to have a struggle in our own personal growth. They may be trying, if there is a weakness in a church or leadership, you know, they may be trying very hard. They may be doing the best possible job that they can do. But we just need to realize if they're not taking us where we want to go, then we have a responsibility to find that environment that will take us to that place. So it's our responsibility to find these folks. You know, God has put into creation some laws. You know, the laws of light and darkness is kind of how all that works. And as far as the light will always expel the darkness. I mean, we know that. Light always expels the darkness. If there's darkness and we bring light into it, we're light, it's going to expel that darkness. But the light, as far as we understand right now in the environment that we live in, will never really overcome all that darkness. So that means that the darkness, in a sense, is still going to be there, and it's going to affect us as much as we're affecting the darkness. That darkness is still going to affect us, because there's no way that you know, all the darkness is just going to go away. And the same impurity and defilement, in a sense, and you guys all heard this illustration, you have a white piece of paper and you put one little black dot on there, even though, you know, you're pure, that one little bit of sin or bit of black, it affects the whole person. And so, just to give us an illustration that we are being affected by the sin and the darkness in the world. And so we want to put ourselves in the best possible place that we can be in so that we have the least amount of effect upon our lives, because it will affect us. And so if we want to grow, we have that responsibility and to stay moving in the right direction. So God expects us to develop trusting relationships with spiritual mentors that He has brought into our lives, realizing that they too will be accountable to God. And in Hebrews 13:7 it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And James 3:1 says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." So as we look at leadership that God has brought into our lives, many of us are struggling with making ourselves accountable to someone, or putting ourselves underneath somebody else's authority. And but in the kingdom of God, we need to do that, not if that authority is telling us to sin, but we need to realize that God has set up a chain of command. He has set up a hierarchy, if you will, because it makes things work. And if we ever get into the study on submission, we'll look at that more. Why do we have to submit, and why did God even invent that word? But there's reasons for that. It helps the kingdom of God work well. And And so we need to realize that God has given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, and that we need to willfully, on our own will, make ourselves, associate ourselves with them and make ourselves accountable. Nobody can make us accountable. You know, you can't make another person accountable. The only way accountability works is that the person who wants accountability in their life has to yield themselves. They have to put themselves in that situation. We can say, well, we'll set up this big team of people to watch over you, but, you know, it really doesn't work that way. Pretty soon that big team of people who are supposed to keep you accountable, you know, they got other things to do in their life, and they forget to call you, and they, you know, things happen, and as much as they love you, you know, what you're going through isn't as an emotional or passionate deal as what's going on in their life, you know. And, oh, it's 7:30 Tuesday, I'm supposed to call Joe Smith and see how he's doing. He's probably doing okay. I mean, you know, he's been doing all right. We should call Joe. I mean, if Joe's our mentor and we have this situation set up, we should call Joe. I mean, do we want to be accountable? Then we have more of a responsibility than those who are above us. And so, unless we want to be, it just really doesn't work. So, we're to make ourselves accountable. We're to associate ourselves with godly men and women. And what the next paragraph here says, that there are to be no lone rangers in the body of Christ. The question is going to church make you a Christian? That's what most people say, that, you know, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. You know, I mean, you probably all heard that. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. But I have down here, well, no, it doesn't. Not any more than going to the Elks Club makes you an elk, or going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Okay? It doesn't make you a Christian. But we are commanded to have fellowship, and God is telling us that we're wise if we do that, because we'll grow in Christ if we do. Hebrews 10:22-26 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. You really can't find in the scriptures a scripture that says, thou shalt go to church every Sunday, you know, at 9 o'clock or 10:30 or whatever it may be. But what the writer of Hebrews does say is, the closer it is to the return of Christ, the more you need to be in fellowship. So it seems like our fellowship needs to be increasing more and more, because more and more we're becoming closer to the time of the Lord's return. And as we get closer to the Lord's return, it's going to be very important that we do fit into and are a part of a body, because the scriptures tell us that that one day a great deception is going to fall. And you know, if we think that, well, I'll accept the Lord tomorrow, you know, I'll start going to church next week, one day the scripture tells us a big deception is going to fall. And when you're deceived, you're deceived. You don't know it. That's what deception is all about. You don't know you're deceived. And so it's not like you're going to see it coming when it hits. You're going to be in this deception pool, and you may not be able to repent. You may not be able to start at that point. So as we already said, today is the day of salvation, and today is a day to start making ourselves accountable to the spiritual mentors that the Lord has brought into our lives. And he always brings those people into our lives. He is faithful to bring them into our lives. We have to decide whether we want to listen to him, whether we accept that God brought them into our lives. But he always will do that, because he takes care of his children. So we're to be committed and submitted. to a church, to a church fellowship expression. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body was an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now God has set members, every one of them, in the body as he has pleased, as it has pleased him," in my parentheses, not us, "and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head of the feet, I have no need of you." So we, no matter what we may feel like, no matter what we may think is right, the scripture says that we are all part of a body, and we need to function together. And it doesn't matter what our perception is of it, we need to do it, and it's important. And if one member isn't functioning the way that they should be functioning, it affects everyone. And so it's very important that we become a part of a church. Now, it's not always easy. Some family members are easier to love than others. Remember, you can choose your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives. And that's your family in Christ. So we get a family. We become part of the family of Christ, but not all family members are as lovable as we would like them to be. But that's our family. And wherever God would lead us, when we get to the place where we believe that God has brought us into that place, we need to realize that this is my family. And, you know, unless they're telling me to do something that's sinful, you know, I need to work on building family relationships. And sometimes it is difficult. God has designed it this way so that we'll stay sharpened tools for the Lord's use. And Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." And so the concept is that we are going to rub against each other. But that's a good thing, because it keeps us sharp. And then we can become the tools of God that he wants us to be. God desires we develop deep relationships. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." And so when we get into a good family, and we have brothers and sisters in the Lord, and moms and dads in the Lord, and grandparents in the Lord, who aren't afraid to speak the truth in love to us, you know, that's kind of wounds us, but that's good stuff. And hopefully we'll find a place in a church family that will be not afraid to speak the truth to us, so we can grow. You know, if everybody's, you got, you know, mustard all over your face and nobody's saying anything, you know, you're walking around looking like an idiot and nobody wants to say anything to you, you know. And, you know, you want somebody to come up and say, "Hey, man, get that mustard off your face," you know. And it's kind of the same thing. And so we need people who are willing to come up and speak the truth in love. And it's hard because, you know, you're afraid what the person may say. I mean, we've all been in that situation. You're sitting across the table from somebody and there's like, you know, something hanging on their beard or tooth or something, you know, and you're going, "Oh, man, he looks like an idiot," you know. Are we willing to say, because he knows when we say, "Hey, we're not saying you look like an idiot, but we're saying, hey, you did something, you know, and you need to fix it." And so, you know, it's hard. But we need to do that, because faithful are the wounds of a friend, and we'll grow and be better people. God builds character in us mainly through relationships. Sometimes relationships bring pain. We can suffer in the world and receive the world's reward, or we can suffer in the church and receive the Lord's reward. If you're coming out of a substance abuse, long-term substance abuse situation, or you really haven't related to people well, and God's now calling you into a church family to learn how to relate, it can be painful. before maybe you were in that situation, you didn't have to relate. You could just go out and do drugs. You could go out and drink. You could go out and do whatever it is that you might do and hide your pain and not relate or whatever. And then God calls us into a new life. And it's hard. But it's what we need. It's what we need to go through. Now, there's pain in the world. I think sometimes as Christians, we become Christians. We go, oh, God, it's too hard. This hurts. I can't do it. This and that. And we think we were happier before we were Christians, but it's really not true. It's all deceptive lie of the enemy. We were going through all sorts of pain in the world. You know, and so now there's some pain that we might have to go through as Christians as we learn to mature and grow. But where do you want to suffer? You got to suffer somewhere. Either place is going to be uncomfortable. You might as well be in the best place you can be, go through what you need to go through, and end up in a better place. Do it. Do what you need to do to grow in Christ. So, Hebrews 11:24 says, by faith Moses, when he has come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. You know, we don't want to be deceptive in any way to say that when you become a Christian, you don't have any more problems, you don't go through any painful experiences. You know, I'm the first to admit that, you know, I went through very hard things in the world, but I went through much harder things as a Christian. But now I'm a much happier person than I ever could have been in the world. And so it is a sacrifice. But there are definite rewards in this life and the life to come. It says, nobody can see the whole picture, and we especially can't see it when we're in it. We need each other to keep a clear perspective, and that was kind of a picture that came several years ago, a picture of a picture that some brothers came up with. And it's really like when you're in a picture, like you picture yourself in a picture. You know, on the wall, in a frame. When you're in that picture and you're just kind of there, you can't really see what's going on around you. But those people that are outside looking at the wall, at the picture, they can see everything that's there. And so we need to have people in our lives who are willing to speak the truth and love to us because they can see things that we can't see. Remember, sometimes it takes a while to find the right church and the best spiritual mentors, but keep asking, seeking, knocking, and it will happen. Remember, you have an adversary. He's called the deceiver. He deceives by fear and manipulation. We'll look at 1 Peter 5:8 through 11. But I can remember one particular case where a brother, God used his brother to speak some really great new things for me. He was hurt. He was burnt. By the church. Sad to say that his daughters actually were molested in a particular church. And he was so bummed out and angry that he quit going to church. But he didn't just quit going to that church. He quit going to church. And he gathered with some other friends of his who were kind of involved in the same situation. And they met for 3 years on their own. And still had fellowship and whatever. And he loved the Lord. His family loved the Lord, but he was hurt. And so after 3 years, he finally decided it was time to go and find a good church. And that's when I met him, because he came to the church where I was at. And the guy had tremendous wisdom. And he shared a lot of things with me that, you know, I was seeking some answers in certain areas. And the Lord just really blessed me through him. And he was at this church where I was at. And then the Lord led me to another church. And because he was ministering things to me that I needed to know, I needed to begin to grow in myself. And the church I was at really couldn't take me any further. It was time for me to find this other church to go to. And the Lord used this guy. And so what he helped me with, he was also looking for, but the Lord used me to find it. Okay, so, but as I left that one church, in my investigation of finding the church we were both kind of talking about that we were looking for, he stayed behind. And I didn't tell him some of the problems that were happening at the church I was at because I didn't figure it was worth bringing up. So what happened is that when I found this better church, he had then begun to discover in the church where he was at some of the things of why I was leaving. And he got all bummed out again. Now, nothing bad happened like it happened before, but he got all bummed out. And so he quit. But then I found the church that he should have been at, and I was at. And I went to try to tell him, his name was Craig. I said, Craig, you know, you helped me so much. The Lord used you in leading me here. And this is where you need to be too for a season. And he wouldn't. He just gave up again. He totally just gave up. Because he let the enemy get in there and get him bummed out. God had him on a journey. I mean, he was rightfully seeing things in the original church where, you know, his daughters got molested, for sure. He saw things. But he just closed his heart. I mean, and he made an attempt to come back, but then he just kind of closed his heart and his mind. And the church, basically where he should have been, was right across the street from where he was working. And he would not walk across the street. And I know for sure that if he would do that, that, you know, he would, God would have answered his prayers. And I don't know ever what happened to him. So that's kind of a strange story, but I've just seen how that if we don't continue to seek and ask and knock, the enemy will just deceive us. But sometimes it's a matter of stepping stones in our lives of you know, getting God, getting us to the place where we need to get. And that's all part of the process. And so we can't give up. We need to continue to ask and seek and knock. In 1 Peter 5:8-11, it says that the elders which are among you I exhort, who also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yes, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So Peter really puts that whole thing together in the scripture. He says, you know, this is what the true church leadership and the true church should be like. They should be feeding the flock of God. They should be doing it not because they have to do it, because they want to do it. It should be a joy to the pastors to minister. It should be a joy to the pastors to serve the body of Christ. It should be a joy to the pastors to serve, to be the servants of that church. And it should be that the pastors can't wait to get to that church to serve the people. That's the way it should be. Now, sometimes it's hard to find a church like that. But if we seek, ask, and knock, God will lead us to that place. And again, he says, you know, beware, because our adversary, the devil, is looking to try to rip us off. But know that this is going on in everybody's life. You know, you're not suffering anything that anybody else in the world is not going through. Now, sometimes we think, oh, it's just me, and man, I'm, you know, God, Satan's just picking on me, and nobody else knows how I feel, and nobody else is going through this stuff. You know, the enemy attacks us all the same way. And we need to realize that's why it's good to be in the body of Christ, because we can get help, comfort, insight from one another, because we all go through the same stuff. And maybe some of us are afraid to admit that we're going through it, but we all go through the same stuff. So Peter encourages us, as we get involved with the church, we find a good church, find pastors that meet and leadership that meets those requirements that he talked about there. And he says, realize, even in the best church, you know, you're going to go through trials and tribulations. But just know that that's how it is with everybody. But trust in God, because in a while, whatever that while is, after a while, he's going to strengthen, he's going to establish, he's going to mature you, he's going to settle you, and eventually, as we go through that process, we will be giving praise and glory to the Lord. So again, the Lord's true church does not manipulate the children of God. The true church is not encouraged to control a person in any way, but to nourish and protect and to grow the sheep into the image of Christ. I've given God.